1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 to 34. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this manner, in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions.
Glory to God. Shall we pray, please? Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, we exalt you and we magnify you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to hear you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus that you will take absolute control of our time. Lord, I personally pray for clarity, Lord. I pray that you grant me your grace to minister to your people today. And I pray also for everyone here that we may be able to grasp today what you have for us, that we may become the children you've called us to live for you. Honor and glory, adoration, only to you, Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. This morning, by God's grace, I'm speaking on the subject, when we gather. When we gather. When we gather. You see, I love it that we have times when we come together as children of God. We see this all the way through the Bible, right? Right from the early church, right from when Jesus came to this earth and he finished his work, he died, he resurrected, he stayed on this earth for another 40 days before he left to go to heaven. And right from then, you see that the early believers who followed him began to congregate. They began to come together. They began to stay together. They began to do things together because they realized that they had one community, one thing that is common between all of them, and that was for the love of Jesus Christ. That was for the love of Jesus Christ. They were all seeking Jesus. They all needed Jesus. So the book of Acts makes us understand that they came together daily, continually, praying together, sharing gifts with one another, eating together. Eating was central to their meeting. And we see God doing awesome things amongst them as they came together. There was healings. There was word of prophecies. The Holy Spirit continued to refill them and give them more grace and more power and authority to minister with boldness and confidence. That was how it was. And it's been like that till now. Because of the one common thing, the one common person, Jesus Christ, who the word of God says that he loved the world, that he gave us his only son, Jesus, to come and die. And because Jesus came to this earth, he taught us how to live for God. He set the example and he was killed. He died a sad death. He was accused of a sin he didn't commit. But this was all because it was heaven's plan and the kingdom of God's agenda. It was the Father's plan that somebody came to this earth to die a gruesome death. That person's blood redeemed you and I from the power of sin and gave us the grace and the opportunity to relate with the Father. And he died, he was buried, he resurrected and ascended to heaven. And because of this Jesus, people have been congregating till now with one agenda, Jesus. But the question I have on my mind as I talk to you, is it always with that agenda, Jesus? Is our gathering always with that agenda, Jesus? We see here in this passage that our dear sister Olivia read to us, how the early church, part of the early church, the Corinthian church, was having a very serious issue, problem. And that problem was that when you look at the 17 all the way to 22, believers would come together, they have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, they would come together, but yet still, the Apostle Paul says, you come together not for the better, but for the worse. They dressed up, they got up, they dressed up, they came to church. And when the word of God says, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Yeah? When they are supposed to come together to receive liberty, when they are supposed to come together to receive healings, when they were supposed to come together to receive blessings, being in the presence of God is only supposed to be a blessing, but they come for the worse. That is a serious... If the gathering was that they would come together for the worse, then what is the point of coming together? You see, what the Apostle Paul wrote to the early church, we can say, oh yeah, the Corinthians were ungodly people. They were doing all sorts of things and they were covering themselves up with church and coming together and fellowshipping, and yet still they didn't. I can tell you all, we can sit here and because we are reading today, we can break it all down and accuse them of all the accusations we may have or even on my mind, on our minds for them. But how is it for us now in church? When we come together to worship, how is it? How is it? You see, today's church, in most cases, is not about Jesus. So many people go to church with all forms of agenda. Oh, I like the way that young guy preaches. Oh, I don't like the way this pastor does this. I don't like the way when they go together, it's all about talking and praying. And I've seen churches where when they come together, it's all about stories. They tell stories and how even the senior pastor is telling stories. And it's all about stories. And there are some churches when they come together, it is food. There are some gatherings when there is no food, nobody attends. I know people who went to church for a woman. And so when the guy met the girl in the church and he married the girl, both him and the girl were no more to be found in the church anymore. Some people go to church for their child. I have known a sister who needed a child and was at church every day. She came so much. We used to have Saturday prayer meetings. She came to every deliverance meeting. And we prayed and believed. We fasted. And this sister got a child. And she was no more found in the church. Hey, my dear sister, it's been a long time. Oh, you know, the child is always... We always have excuses for not being in the house of God. Why do we dress up, perfume ourselves, look so nice, stand in the mirror, Look whether we are okay. Get in our cars. Oh, there's no gas in my car. We rush down to the filling station. Top it up. Sometimes we don't even have gas. Oh, no, my car is giving me problems. So we call Uber. We thank God for Uber these days. You have no more excuse to say you can't come because Uber will bring you. So we do all these things and then we come to church. And why are we here? What at all did you dress? Please, I want you to begin to really reflect on it. Why are you here? You and I, why are we here? Some of us have different places where we go. Oh, tomorrow I'll go to that church that is down there. I like the way they have meditation time. Oh, next week I'll go to the other church. The pastor is young. He speaks with vibrancy. Yeah. Why are you here? Why do you do it every day? Why do you dress up and come? Why do I bother? Why do I sit down and go through the word of God to come and minister? Why do I do this? What is my agenda? What do I want to see out of this? Why am I doing this? When we gather, why are we gathering? What is the focus of the gathering? The Corinthians, let me give you a little bit background. The Corinthians are not naturally believers of God. We know that God called Israel and he blessed him. And he told him that out of him, he's going to bless the whole world. And so the children of Israel, the Hebrew child, believes that he is in a relationship with God by virtue of his or her father or our ancestor being Abraham. Yeah? So, the Corinthians were not that. Before they came to this Jesus, they had their idols that they worshipped. And there was the way they worshipped their gods, they would go to their temples. Eating was part of it. They would marry and they would dance. They would drink and do foolish things in front of their idols and their gods. And that was their worship. And then for some reason, they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that their culture, their lifestyle of living a life of uncleanliness, going to their gatherings and misbehaving and drinking and eating and having merry, was now creeping into the church. Now, it had become something they also want to bring into the house of God. Because don't forget, the reason, a central thing for when the children coming together is eating, they broke bread together, which means they ate together. They ate together, they spent good time, and they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. That is how it was from the early church down. So now, the Corinthians have given themselves to Jesus. They don't know this Jesus well, but they have gatherings, and now suddenly, among them, there are fashions. Among them, there are fashions. And you see the Apostle Paul touching on it. I hear that there are division among you. Class had become an important thing in the church. For instance, when we say class, you go to certain church by God's grace, certain people have different level of education and training and backgrounds and fields that they are in. So some people are rated better than others for some reason in the house of God. They have their divisions. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 17, the Apostle Paul actually touches on this. And some of them were believing that they were for Cephas. Some of them believed that they were for Apollos. And some of them believed that they were for Paul. And he touched on it theologically with them that who died for all of them? Isn't it Jesus that died for you? But now, practically, he is also approaching the subject that, look, I have heard these things. And I believe it because I know your history. I know your history. And some of us today, as we are seated here, we know our history. We know why we come to church. Our history, our background. Somebody walks in here, they are bank manager at their workplace, so they think they should come and be bank manager here too. You can't come and manage here. Jesus didn't call you the head here. I'm a doctor. Glory to God. We thank God that you are a doctor. Can you just come and take the broom and sweep around? How dare you? Nurses work for me. I have staff who work for me. So the pastor too must worship you. Eh? When you have an opinion, you think you should say it anyhow, anywhere, however you want to say it. Classes, divisions. And it was a thing also that because they were mixed of different kinds of people, they would bring good food too. There were people who had good food. God, oh my goodness. Some of you sometimes bring the food that you eat at home here. We too would like to eat your good food, eh? And the restaurants that you order your food from. Some people will tell you the stars. They check the stars. Oh, this one doesn't have what? What are the stars in eating? 5 stars. This one doesn't have 3 stars. This is not a diamond rating. I go to diamond rated places. Sometimes I'm meeting people and based on my finances and what I can provide, I take them to some place. Oh, pastor, here? Hello? But what point am I making? They come together, they bring their food. Instead of waiting for everybody to come so that they eat together, no. The rich begin to eat those who bring their good food and they want to show they have. They bring their wines and their crazy drinks also to the church. And they eat and look, the apostle have even touched on it. Some of you even drink and eat and get drunk. And others have not eaten. Look at this. And I see this too. Sometimes we're having gathering. And we have some, serve yourself over there. Some people, when they see the food, they just rush there. And when they leave alone, you see, half of the whole tray is gone. They are caught up in themselves. You see, the point I'm trying to make here is this. Selfishness was controlling the church of Corinthians. They were so caught up in themselves that forget the one who doesn't have it. They couldn't walk in love. They couldn't walk in patience. They couldn't walk in humility because they were caught up in themselves. Selfishness. If I have it and I brought it, I can eat it. And you know, some of you behave like that here. If I have it and I signed the big check, the pastor must listen to me. I can tell the church what to do with the money that I give them. Why is it that it's only the pastor's wife that sits over there? Me too. I got to sit in it. There are so many reasons why people come to church. Some, it is to show off. Some, for whatever. But the subject that I want to speak to is this. Selfishness. When we gather, we shouldn't be motivated by ourselves. We can easily look at what they were doing there. And like I'm doing well. Eh? I'm breaking them down. I'm whipping them well. But why are you sitting here today? Why did I dress up to come here today? Am I caught up in myself so much that I cannot be part of what God wants to do here? Their problem was that they couldn't be able to receive from God because they were self-centered. And that is why the word of God says that we should be renewed. We should be transformed by the renewal of our mind,
My dear brother, your freedom is all in your mind, you know. The word of God says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Do you know that when your heart is corrupted, you are corrupted every area of your life? Some illnesses that are going on in your body, some pains which are going on in your body, are as a result of the state of your heart. Depression. Some of us are so depressed that there are other pains that are going on in our system. Somehow, our brain has encouraged itself that it has a leg pain because we are not thinking right in our heart. The state of our heart is not clean. Self. We need to bring this self under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. Because if we allow it to control us in the church, we can never be blessed. Like these people here, the Apostle Paul, you come together, but not for blessing. You come for the worse. Can you imagine? You have done the great thing. You have accepted Jesus. Great. You have done the hard work. You've been going to church every day. Today you are seated here looking so beautiful, looking so handsome. And yet still, you are here for the worse. The trumpet sounds, you are not going. If Jesus were to appear here now, forget it. If anything were to happen, you cross the street, excuse me, I don't desire that for any of you. I cancel it in the name of Jesus, that you will step on the street and a car would knock you and you will pass away. But if you died unexpectedly and end up in hell, what's the point? What's the point? What's the point? And so when we gather, we have to be able to put ourselves away. I want this. Why isn't the worship team singing a certain song? My song hasn't come, so I can't worship. The worship song hasn't sung my song. Is that why you came? If it were to be music, you shouldn't be here in the first place. There are places to go for music, man. Brother Sam, however it is, you're doing good, okay? God bless you. God bless you. Hey, don't think of the perfection. The waiting on the Lord is what is key. He that stands with you is greater. Yeah? That is what you should focus on. Don't focus on the... I tell you, the anointing will deal with the voice. When the Lord Jesus is present with you and he has to use you, anywhere where you are inadequate, it will begin to make you adequate. In Jesus, there is no lack. And so when we gather, when you are coming here, I'm here. Is it a headache that you are carrying? Is it a body pain? Don't be caught up in that yourself, so that you miss the opportunity to be blessed. The gathering is key. Where did I even leave my notes? The gathering is key. The gathering is key. But then look at what the apostle says. Look at what the apostle says. How to conduct ourselves. The true way when we meet together. Yeah, he says, for I have received. Look at 23 to 26. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Hallelujah. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The Apostle Paul is saying, I received. What he's saying, he's not saying it's through some dubious means. He's saying the Lord Jesus gave him that order. Some people have argued so many. It could have been that some of the apostles told him. It could have been this, this. But the writer says, the apostle Paul says, I have received that which was given to me by the Lord. And so that is what we have to focus on. It is from the Lord Jesus to us how we should live when we come together, how we should do things, how we should conduct ourselves when we come together. When we come together. He also reminds them that Jesus Christ was betrayed. And so when you and I come together, our behavior shouldn't be a betrayal too. On the night our Lord was betrayed, Judas claimed to love Jesus Christ. He loved Jesus. All the 12 were following Jesus. They were getting what they would get from Jesus. They were getting their fame. When the time came, when Jesus needed them the most, they all scattered and left him alone. Peter said, I do not know the guy. He swore 3 times. They betrayed him. And you and I, every time we choose not to do, not to walk in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we choose to do things our own way, when we choose for ourselves to control us, we deny him too. Deny him. And the Apostle Paul is reminding them that if those people betrayed him, you who claim that you love him too, you can betray him. And it's already happening. So watch it. And when he had given thanks, broke bread. When he had given thanks, he had given thanks. And he said, this is my body. I tell you, if you are to read on this subject, this is my body alone, it can take us another year of trying to explain it. But the Lord Jesus gave us a picture of what he was going through. They used unleavened bread. Bread without yeast. To remind them, the Israelites, how they had to rush out of Egypt when God saved them. The Passover meal was held during the Passover. And the Last Supper was also held during the Passover. And so when he took the bread, which had scars on it, they had a way that they baked it, and the bread would have scars on it. He took the bread and he said, this is my body. As a representative of what representation of the brokenness that he was going to go through, his body that was going to be broken because of his love for you and I. Because of his love for you and I. Children of God, the Lord died for you. His pains, his hurt, it's so that you and I will begin to come into a renewed relationship with God. And so when we gather, it must be about the Lord. It must be about what he is about to do. It must be about what he can do, what his death meant for us. And then the Lord said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is the new covenant. The Passover meal had so many different cups. But the cup that Jesus lifted and he says, this is my cup, my blood shed for you. That cup that he lifted was a cup that they called the cup of redemption. And at that moment when Jesus lifted the cup of redemption and he said, this is my blood in the new covenant. Jesus was starting something new. He's telling them that redemption, freedom is from me, the blood that I am going to share on the Calvary cross for you. You and I must always remember that nobody shed a blood for you and I. The pastor didn't shed blood for you and I. The music worship team didn't shed their blood for you. As a matter of fact, if a sound is to sound there right now, they will probably be the first to disappear. They will. I remember I sent a text to the board members. I wasn't well. Then the man of God sent me a text saying that, is it infectious? I shouldn't come to a meeting and infect people with it. That is a man of God. Do you get the point here? Jesus, his blood is what you need. Your redemption, your freedom, your liberty, whatever you need. And so when you come here, it is not time. When we come together gathering, it's not time to be looking for, oh, who sings like me? Who dances like me? I like the way they do things. People have so many choices, so many. I can't believe people have hold on to these things. Meanwhile, you need salvation. And we are here pity-partying with one another. And the person that can give us the salvation, we forget about him. It's all about our programs. It's all about what the pastor is saying. I have literally heard a lot of people telling me and quoting people to me. I don't have time for such people. I can't chat with people who quote other pastors to me. What does the word of God say? Come, give me a scripture, my dear sister. Yeah? Give me a scripture. It is written in God's word. It is written in God's word, my dear brother. You are saved, yeah? By the blood of our Lord Jesus, you are saved. Whatever is going on in your life, you are free. I prefer that than you telling me, oh, you know, this pastor said, hello? It doesn't save me. That person didn't share his blood for you and I. It is not a new covenant. They didn't start a new thing for you and I. And so when we gather, we got to remember that, Jesus, we need you. Why are you sitting here? Why are you here? If you don't need Jesus, why are you here? Look at what we are going on in our nation now. We have liars lying to us every day, every second on TV. It's so sad. And the person that can save us from all that we are going through, he's not important to us. He's not central to us. Do you know how many people have told me that our over there is so boring? We should do something over there. No, hello? I'm reminding you of the cross. When you come here, it is Jesus you come here to meet. It is Jesus you need. Myself, I need Jesus. If I begin to tell you some of the things, I'm going to be like, oh, hey, did we appoint the right person as our pastor? Jesus, the blood. New covenant. But you see, what does the new covenant mean? Go with me in your Bible to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 33 to 34. We want to do this quickly, please. Jeremiah 31, verse 33 to 34. I hear some people opening the passage. I love it when I hear the traditional ones here. Some of us have been caught too much in technology. Everything. We are on computer, everything. Pray for my wife's deliverance, please. She's too much technological. I can't catch up with her. Eh? I can't catch up. I thank God that there is no love machine. Anyway. I thank God. But anyway, look at what the word of God says. Are we all there? If you're there, just wave your hand to me, please. Are we all there? Glory to God. Glory to God. And so the word of God says in Jeremiah 31, verse 33 to 34, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saying, the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then 34 says, no more shall
every man, no more shall any man or every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. And their sin, I will remember no more. And so, what does the covenant of God mean? The first one is this. It is about God's word and will... It is about an inner transformation that cleanses us from all sin. For I will forgive their iniquity. When you look at Jeremiah 31, 33. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. In their sin, I will remember no more. It's about cleansing the covenant. We were sinful people, and we needed cleansing to be able to come to God. You see, no man can come to God if they hold sin in their heart. If they are sinful, we can never go to God. But because of Jesus, we can come to God because our sins are forgiven. We are cleansed of our sins. And then the next point is this. It is about God's word and will in us. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Jeremiah 31, 33. So when we gather, the word of God must be central. What God is saying is what's important, not what I have got to say. You know I can talk too, right? It's not what I can say. I can tell you stories. Oh my goodness. If I start stories, we won't go home. I can keep you here till... Hey, I know some of you want to go watch Super Bowl. Go! Go 49ers! I'm a 49er. I'm telling you. I know some of you want to leave here and go. If you're not careful, you will not go. I can tell you stories till tomorrow. And you'll be like, man, let's leave him and go. You shut the door and I'll be here talking to myself. It is not about that. When we gather... The covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about God's word. What God has to do in your life. The word of God says that he does not speak for his word to go and come back to him void. The word of God must be central. It's no more talking. Look, America has talked so much. We talk too much. We talk too much. And look at the state of our world, the condition of our world. Even the church alone, here alone, between me and you alone, look at the problems going on in our lives. Hey, we talk, but God's will is what matters. Jesus understood this. And so when he tried his own way and he couldn't, Lord, let this cup pass me. He said, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. You see, when we gather, it has to be about the Father's will for you and I. Pastor, tell me something that Jesus wants me to hear. Don't come tell me your theologies, your ideas, your knowledge. It doesn't save me. It doesn't save you. It doesn't save any of us. It doesn't. But when we hear the word, God says he will put it on our hearts, on our minds. Where is God's word central in your life? Are you valuing the Bible? Are you reading the word of God? Even if you're reading it, how are you seeing it? Do you see it as some book that Paul wrote or some storybook or some... No. See it as God's word. Wake up, Lord. What word do you have for me today? What word? And so when we gather, it has to be about the word of God. And then the last one. The covenant is about a new close relationship with God. Listen, 31, 33. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Kadima Somaka. I will be their God. God wants to be your God. Can you imagine?
Some of us, every little thing, I'm calling the police. I'm calling my doctor. I'm calling. Your doctor can't create even a vein in your body. And you can come into a deep relationship with a creator. You can come into a deep relationship with a God. A God, a supreme being. And this one is not just any God. It is the God. The greatest one. The one that gathers all people. He says he wants to relate with you into a deeper relationship. Look at the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father. So close, so intimate. The Father wants to be so intimate with you and I. When we gather, it has to be an intimacy with Jesus. It has to be that we want God more than anything else. More than anything. I didn't come here for the pictures. I didn't come here for the way the building looks. I didn't come here for the so-called music team singing. I didn't come here for all these things. I want an intimacy with Jesus. Is the relationship that is going on here, is what is happening here drawing you closer to God or away from God? That is why you go and worship. You choose some place and go to worship. If what is happening there does not draw you into an intimacy with Jesus, forget it. And so when we gather, we can put ourselves aside. Begin to cherish a deeper relationship with Jesus on a daily basis, on a morning basis, on an afternoon basis, on an evening basis. And then Jesus said to Paul, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You see, the Apostle Paul is again reminding us that Revelation 19 verse 9. I want to read it. That Jesus will come back. Let's go to Revelation 19 verse 9. I will end it here so that I don't take all your time. I told you I can talk till tomorrow. I can talk. One of my mentors, he's always telling me, man, you can preach for 1 hour. You have so much energy. And I understand. I'm young. Yeah? I am young. But if I talk so much, and the word of God is not central, what's the point? Revelation 19. And I fell at, Revelation 19 verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Verse 9, sorry. Go to verse 9. Technology. Verse 9. Then he said, Revelation 19, verse 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Jesus is coming back again. We are invited, and we are all invited to this. And he's reminding them that every time we partake in the Lord's Last Supper, we are reminding ourselves of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you see what? While this looks like, oh, it is the Last Supper, some churches have made it once a month. Even here, we have communion once a month. This has to be a continual reminder on a child of God's mind that Jesus is coming. When you wake up, what's on your mind? And when we gather, our gathering has to be to remember that our Lord is coming. Our Lord is not dead and buried, and he's not useless. He's seated on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Yeah, he's alive. He exists. He's still in charge of everything going on. He's our high priest. He's making intercession for you and I. And he's coming back. And so that is what, child of God, you should be looking forward to. It's not about what you are going through now. The Lord will come back. He's coming back. And you and I, we will go and meet him, the glorious meeting of our Lord. He literally said that he is looking forward to the day when he will have that with us in heaven, children of God. So don't live a mediocre life. Yeah, you are not worshiping something that does not exist. Jesus is in existence. He's coming back again. He's coming back. While the communion reminds us of this, we have to always remember this too when we gather, that Jesus is coming. He's coming. God bless you. God bless you.